Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. And I'm reading from a passage of Scripture found in Luke 11, verse 1. Luke 11:1, it says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying," as the Lord Jesus Christ was praying, "in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples to pray. Lord, teach us to pray." Now the subject of this message is prayer. What is prayer? What is it to pray? And I don't profess, my friends, to have all the answers on this subject. But I believe that if you're interested, I can help you on this matter of prayer. If you're really interested in finding out something about prayer, if you listen carefully, I believe I can help you. Now, the second thing I want to say is this. I don't hold myself up as an example to follow in the matter of prayer. No man is that proud. No man speaking on faith or love or prayer would hold himself up as an example of any of those things. One of the reasons that I preach this message is to learn myself something about prayer. Lord, teach us to pray. Our master said this, ask. And literally, it is translated this way, keep on asking, and you'll receive. Keep on knocking, and it'll be open. Keep on seeking, and you'll find. And he said this, one of the apostles wrote this, well, you have not because you ask not. You ask not. That's the reason you don't have. And then again, the apostle wrote, men ought always to pray. Always, anytime, any place, anywhere, about anything, with no one there but God, let's pray. Lord, teach us to pray. Now, what is prayer? Now, sit down there a moment and listen to me. What is prayer? And I know this, in dealing with the subject of prayer, the first thing that one must do, the first thing we must deal with, we must take away the ritualism, the form, the phoniness. There's so much phoniness. There's so much ritualism. Prayer is not a ceremony. You see, prayer, like faith, must be from the heart. It must be sincere. It must be genuine, or God won't have anything to do with it. Prayer, like love. Love must be from the heart. Love must be sincere. Love must be genuine, or God will have nothing to do with it. We don't want anything to do with a phony, make-believe love. And so prayer, if it's going to be heard, if God Almighty is going to hear it, if we're going to engage in prayer, we're going to have to do away with this phoniness and superstition and ritualism and ceremonialism and form. And form. If in prayer we're not sincere before God, we're wasting our time. If in prayer we're not speaking from the heart, we're wasting not only time but words. So the first thing I'm going to do is take the words of our Lord, the warnings of our Lord, about insincere, hypocritical prayer. Prayer in form, prayer in ceremony, prayer in word, in idle words. We got to do away with that before we can get down to this matter of what real prayer really is. Now, here's the first thing Christ said. In Matthew 23:14, he says this. It's a warning about prayer. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you, for a pretense, make long prayers. You're going to receive the greater condemnation, he said. You see, most prayers in the Bible are very short. They're not long, drawn-out prayers. They're very brief. When our Lord taught his disciples, he said, when you pray, pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. You're familiar with that prayer. You can pray that in less than a minute. When Elijah was on Mount Carmel, when he was in great combat with the prophets of Baal, the false prophets. And they prayed all day long, morning, noon, and evening. And they couldn't get their false god to answer. They went through, they cut themselves, and they watered on the ground, they screamed, and they hollered, and they prayed for hours, and finally Elijah, the prophet of God. You remember how he doused the sacrifice with water, how he dug a trench around it and piled the wood and put the lamb on it and soaked it in water three or four times. And then he stood and prayed. And he prayed a 63-word prayer. You'll find it in 1 Kings 18. That's all, 63 words. He said very plainly, "Lord, let it be known this day that thou art God and that I'm your servant. And that what I've said and what I've done is according to your will. Let it be known to this nation that you're God and turn their hearts back to you." In essence, that's what he prayed, just 63 words. And the fire fell. And our Lord warns men against these long prayers. It's pretense for pretense. Just keep on and on and on and on. Wearisome to the flesh, and I know wearisome to God Almighty. In Matthew 6:5, our Lord said this, "When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues. They love to pray on the street corners that they may be seen of men." Oh, beware. Beware. I told you when I started this message, prayer, if it's insincere, if it's hypocritical and phony to be seen of men, God won't have anything to do with it. I know public prayer is needful. I know public prayer is necessary. I know prayer in worship and prayer in the congregation of the righteous. But I'll tell you, the best prayer is that prayer that's prayed in the closet. And when we do pray publicly, we need to be very careful. And much care is to be exercised that our prayers be to God and not to be heard and seen of men. Oh, I tell you, private closet prayer, that's the best prayer. When a man or a woman or a young person gets alone with God and pours out his heart to God. Our Lord warns us now against making, for a pretense, long prayers. He warns us about praying to be heard or seen of men, to impress somebody. Don't try to impress anybody with your prayers. It's insincere. It's phony. And then in Matthew 6:7, our Lord said, "When you pray, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking, for their many words." Whoever came up with the idea that God is impressed with our eloquent words and with our deep, flowery displays of theology? Whoever came up with the idea that that impresses God Almighty? I want you to listen to these prayers. I looked at this morning. Here's three simple, brief, to the point, from the heart prayers. And I know every one of them were heard. The first one is that publican in the temple who would not even come down front, who had no eloquent words, who prayed this brief prayer. He said, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." That was it. And God heard it. That wasn't for anybody's ears but God. That came from his soul, from his heart, out of a need. Listen to this one. Recognize it. "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." He says that all? That's all. But a man entered glory on that prayer, looking to Christ. What about this one? Recognize this one? "Lord, save me or I perish." You remember when Peter tried to walk on water? He began to sink. It's not time for an hour and a half prayer. And it's no time to show off your eloquence or your theological knowledge. And he wasn't interested whether anybody heard him or not. There was only one who could save him. And he looked to him and said, "Lord, save me or I'm going to die." And God saved him from the water. And then in James 4, verse 3, James says, "You pray and you fail to receive." They pray these long prayers and pretentious prayers and flowery prayers and eloquent prayers and much words. You pray and you don't receive. And I tell you why, he said. Because you pray for the wrong purpose. You pray to consume it on your own lust. In other words, what you've got in mind is not the will of God and not the glory of God and not the good of the church, but what you've got in mind is your sensual fleshly desires. And your prayers and my prayers often are so selfish and so fleshly, we're not going to be heard. We're going to have to become interested in God's will and in God's glory. And I'll add some things to this, things that have risen in our day, some things that are prevalent in this day regarding prayer. That is what people call prayer. But changing my voice when I pray. Have you heard? I've heard people try to pray. Preachers are very bad about this. And they get in that pious religious whine, you know. They change their voice. If they're talking to you on the street, they talk one way. But when they're talking to God, they talk another way. They put on that piety and that false religious whine and that special voice that's reserved only for prayer. And my friends, that's insincere now. That's insincere. You see, prayer is conversation. Prayer is conversation with God. It's not to impress people about me with my piety, holier-than-thou attitude. And then I hear people pray and they scream and they holler like God's death or something. They just scream and holler and rant and rave and lift their voices. That indicates an ignorance of God. God's not death. God's a spirit. He's not far from every one of us. God hears a whisper. Not only that, God hears a thought. God hears a look. God hears a groan. God hears a sigh. So we don't need to scream at our God. And then I hear these preachers, especially on television, claiming power over demons and power over diseases and power over sickness and power over God. They'll say, God, we demand, we command you. We command you to this, that, this, do this, that, and the other. Now, that's foolishness. The creature doesn't command the Creator. If you want to find out something about humility in prayer and a subdued, worshipful nature, you read Abraham's prayer of intercession for Sodom over there in the book of Genesis when he was praying for Sodom and he said, Lord, he said, now I've taken it upon myself to speak to you. Don't be angry. Don't be angry. But Lord, if you find 50 righteous people down there, would you spare that city? The Lord said, I will. And now Abraham said, Lord, don't be angry with me. I'm not telling you what to do. And I ought not even be speaking. But I'm going to ask you one more thing. If you find 40, would you spare? And on he went like that in that prayer of intercession. So claiming power, that doesn't get it. His is the power and the glory and the authority. And we're beggars before the throne of grace. And then I hear people today, you have these places where everybody prays aloud at the same time. They call it praying in unison. No, it's praying in confusion is what it is. That's nothing but superstition. That's contrary to the Word of God. How can someone say amen to the giving of thanks if everybody's shouting and screaming and yelling at the same time? Where did that ever originate? It doesn't come out of the Word of God. If you read 1 Corinthians 14, when one fellow had something to say, everybody else shut up. That's right. Even the preachers, the prophets, and the praying. They waited one for the other. Now, what is prayer? What is prayer? Well, it's quite simply communion with God. That's the best definition I can find. Just communion with God. And it's directed from the heart of a believer to his Father. Not merely seeking our will and our wants and our desires, but seeking his will, seeking his mercy. It's communion with God, directed from the heart of a believer to the Father in heaven. Someone else says prayer is to talk with God. It's to talk with God as a needy beggar speaks to his king. As a bride speaks to her bridegroom. As a workman speaks to his master. As a child speaks to his father. It's talking with God. It's conversation with God. What is prayer? Prayer is the sincere, affectionate, and sensible pouring out of my soul to God through the Holy Spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is prayer? Prayer is not to inform God of my needs. God knows my needs. He knows them better than I do. I think I know them, but I really don't. But He does. So prayer is not to inform God of my needs. God knows all things. He knows you have need of these things, Christ said. But prayer is really a confession to Him of my sense of need and my dependence upon Him to supply that need. See what I'm saying? Prayer is not to inform God of my needs. He knows them. And if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall He give good things to His children? So prayer is not to inform God of my need. Prayer is to confess my sense of need and my dependence upon Him to supply that need and my desire to find His will in these matters. And then prayer may be in simple words, spoken, or words not spoken. Oh, yes, sir. Know anything about Hannah? Know when Hannah went up to Shiloh, was it, and she wanted a baby so badly, and she was over there praying, and her lips moved, but she didn't say any words, and Eli the priest thought she was drunk, and she said, I'm not drunk, I'm a heavy-hearted woman, and I'm crying to God. And God heard her, she never said a word, nobody else heard her. I hear people say, you ought not take prayer out of the school. Nobody can. You can't take prayer out anywhere unless you take believers out. If there's any believers there, there'll be prayer there. You don't have to say words to pray. God hears words spoken or words not spoken. Prayer may be a wish. Prayer may be a desire expressed. Prayer may be a look out of my helplessness to God. That's prayer. Prayer may be a sigh in my sorrow, a groan before God. Prayer may be a smile of gratitude when the blessings of God fall and I smile. I know where they came from. I don't have to say anything. See, God looks on the heart. Will we ever get it through our heads that God's not a man? That God doesn't look on the outward countenance. He's not impressed by people's show and sham. And God Almighty is not impressed by outward deeds. He looks on the heart. And it's attitude and spirit. One can engage in true prayer anytime, anywhere, about anything at any time, unknown to anyone. But God Almighty, and that's your best prayer. Sitting, standing, morning, noon, or night. And God doesn't wear a watch either. Now, some things that the Lord's taught us about prayer that we'll remember if we ever learn how to pray. And the first thing is this. We know to pray, and we'll remember when we do pray, that we must pray, and we want to pray according to the will of God. Even my Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, said, not my will, but thy will be done. 1 John 5:14 says, now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He'll hear us. I not only know to pray according to the will of God, I'm not going to change the will of God. I want to find out the will of God, and I'd like to be in it. And I know to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. He's the only mediator. I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to say any Hail Marys. That's foolishness. I don't care who does it. She's no mediator. Christ is the one mediator between God and men. I'm not going to pray to St. Jude or St. Christopher or St. anybody else. The only one, He said, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, and that's the man Christ Jesus. He's our mediator. He's our high priest. He's our advocate. He's our intercessor. We have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. And really, I don't have to say with ever prayer in Jesus' name as long as I know it. As long as I know that prayer is only answered because of Him, through Him, in His name. There's none other name under heaven, you see, whereby we must be saved. And then I know to pray in faith. All things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believe, and you shall receive them. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that God is, and God's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And then I know to pray in love and obedience. You read 1 Peter 3 sometime. 1 Peter 3. And it tells wives to be in subjection to their husbands, for the husband to be the authority in the home, and the husband to love his wife, treat her as the weaker vessel, take care of her. It tells servants to be obedient to their masters. It tells all of us to love one another and live together in obedience. And there's one phrase that everybody misses. And here's the phrase, that your prayers be not hindered. 1 Peter 3:7. If you don't treat one another right, if you don't love one another, if you don't live together in harmony and unity, God's not going to hear you pray. That your prayers be not hindered. I know if I'm going to pray, I'm going to have to pray according to the will of God. And I don't have to go down this checklist like a fellow gets in an airplane, goes through the checklist before he takes off. No, I don't have to go through the checklist before I pray, but I just know in my heart, in my soul, these things are so. Prayer's got to be in faith. It's got to be according to the will of God. And it's got to be in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's got to be from a person that's sincere. And then we know to pray humbly, confessing our sins and our unworthiness. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. And then I know if I'm going to pray, I'm going to have to pray with forgiveness in my heart toward other people. My Lord warned me, he said in Mark chapter 11, he said, when you pray, when you stand praying, if you have anything against another, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may forgive you. He said, if you don't forgive others, he won't forgive you. Now, you know that, and I do too. You can't pray with a heart of hatred and a heart of grudges and things like that. God's not going to hear us when we come to him in that attitude. And then I know to pray with thanksgiving. The Lord won't bless covetousness and murmuring and discontent. Our prayers are to be with thanksgiving. He said, in everything give thanks. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then we need to pray with sensibly and with understanding. Just pray. Just pray. Just talk to God in regular words. He said, I'll pray with the Spirit, but I'll pray with the understanding also. Understanding. And then I know this. Don't quit. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. That is, no quit. Persevere in prayer. Continue. Don't give up. The Apostle Paul prayed three times about that thorn. You remember the thorn in the flesh? He said, I prayed three times about that. I kept going to God until finally the Lord said, now, Paul, I gave you that for a purpose, that you might remember that you're still a man. I'm going to leave it with you. And he left it with him. And Paul left it with the Lord. He prayed about something else, but he didn't quit till he got an answer. And then we know to pray for one another. Paul said, brethren, pray for us. Pray for us. Bear ye one another's burdens. And then you know what Proverbs 15:8 says? The prayer of the upright is God's delight. I ran across a hymn by James Montgomery on prayer. Listen to it. Prayer is the soul's sincere desire, unuttered or expressed, the motion of a hidden fire that trembles in the breast. Prayer is the burden of a sigh, the falling of a tear, the upward glancing of the eye when no one but God is near. Prayer is the simplest form of speech that human lips can try. Prayer, the glorious strain that reaches the majesty on high. Prayer is the Christian's vital breath, the Christian's native air, his watchword at the gate of death. He enters heaven with prayer. Lord Jesus, Stephen said, receive my spirit. Prayer is the contrite sinner's voice returning from his ways, while angels in heaven rejoice and cry, behold, he prays. It's the first thing he said about Saul of Tarsus when God saved him. He told Ananias, he said, behold, he prays. He will, too. O thou by whom we come to God, the life, the truth, the way, the path of prayer thyself hath trod, Lord, teach me to pray. Listen to that last verse again. O thou by whom we come to God, the life, the truth, the way, the path of prayer thyself hath trod, Lord, teach me to pray.